Would like to say welcome to everyone, and especially our visitors. If you are here as a visitor, not a member of the body of Christ, we extend a special welcome to you. We are going picking up on the subject of the providence of God. This, of course, would be the fifth lesson on the subject. For those who are here who want day by day to be enlightened by what God has revealed about Himself and His will, I have no doubt that you will be learning additional things on the subject. We're going to bow our heads for a word of prayer. Some time ago, a brother, I think, had asked what's the difference? The Bible states sign, wonders, and mighty deeds. In fact, with a little different shift, the description of miracle with the three words have been used in no less than three passages. They are not the three words used are just stating characteristics of miracle. I may not address it in a little more detail in the lesson this morning, but hopefully between tonight and next week. Let us bow our heads. Merciful, gracious, holy, everlasting God in heaven, you have blessed us. You have shown your graciousness toward us yet another time. Because, my God, we are able to assemble ourselves here today, the strength we have is not given to us by ourselves. The ability to come because we are not in the hospital, we are not on our sick bed. Those opportunities, my God, are from you. Therefore, we would just like to say thanks to you for your kindness and goodness toward us. Teach us, my God, through Christ, and help us to be people who recognize your goodness and mercy towards us daily, and help us to be thankful people. Guide our minds now through Jesus the Christ to give you the worship that you deserve. True, sincere, genuine, willing worship. As we are about, my God, to look to your revelation, your word, that is able to guide us and put us on the right track and keep us there. Give us attentive and receptive minds. Give us memory that will be able, my God, to retain the truth that will make a difference in our lives and in our relationship with you and with one another. My God, may you help me through Jesus the Christ in the many ways I need your help. As I share this lesson, I beg for physical and spiritual strength. Through Jesus the Christ, I beg my God for a memory that will be able to recall the things that I have studied and the things that you want to bear on this lesson. I beg through Jesus the Christ for your forgiveness. I beg that you will guide me to speak as your oracle so that you will be honored, be glorified, and that we will be helped. At the end, may you be pleased. May we, my God, be encouraged, be challenged, and be directed according to your words. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Among the last things that was said last week is the fact that providence is about God's support. It is about God's care. Providence is about God's supervision. Providence is about God's control of and over the entire creation. The Almighty God has providential care and power and concern not only over human beings, but over the entire world. Jesus Christ brought the attention of his immediate audience to the flowers and told his audience that Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like those flowers. We pointed out last week that providence involves God's intervention, divine intervention, while it is not miraculous. Because God's mode of operation is not always miraculous. In fact, God's mode of operation is usually, in the ordinary sense, not the extraordinary. In one lesson on the subject many weeks ago, I pointed out that the Almighty God employed miracles in the creation of the world. And in the revelatory process, that is from the Old Testament to the New Testament, the Almighty God used miracle in revealing His truth, His revelation, His will, His ways to man. But God did not use miracle to maintain the world. He only used miracle to create it. He created laws to maintain the world, to run it. Same way the Almighty God makes spiritual laws to run the church. Providential law to be upheld to His people. The passage read this morning, taken from the book of Romans chapter 8. I didn't give the brother the passage. When the Bible said that all things work together for good to them that love God, that wasn't saying that the Almighty God will miraculously work out all things for us. The passage have in consideration God's behind the scene working for His people. That's what we call the providence of God. It's God inconspicuous behind the scene, actually working behind the scene. Right now, God is working for His people. Not just here, but all over. Wherever God's children are located, the Almighty God is working providentially to guide, to support, to care for, to supervise, to control, to provide for His people. There are no miracles today. What did your preacher say? That's right. So I repeat it. There are no miracles today. Wait. That doesn't mean that God is not working today. Just that His mode of operation is not miraculous. It's providential. For one, the purpose of miracle is no longer needed. The Bible states in different ways that the purpose of miracle was for authentication, to show that the apostles and those on whom the apostles laid their hands that did miracles, that these men were authentic. They were not fraud, pretenders. So, one of the main purposes of miracle was to authenticate, to show that this is the real stuff. May I? Over the next year or two or three or four, compare present day so-called miracle with the miracles of the scripture. Let me just throw out one pointer here. After the apostles of Jesus Christ received the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit, mark you, only the apostle and the house of Cornelius received that measure. Wait, I need to clarify this. I didn't say only the apostle and the house of Cornelius received the Holy Spirit, but the baptismal measure. Because the Holy Spirit is in fact given by measure. Meaning everybody did not get and does not get the Holy Spirit acting upon him or her in the same way. So the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the only exception to the measure. In other words, Jesus Christ received the Holy Spirit working with and upon him measurelessly. Implying that every other man or woman who received the Holy Spirit received the Holy Spirit in proportion. Now, after the apostles of Christ received the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit, you notice I'm right back where I challenge you to compare the miracles of today, the so-called miracles of today, and the miracles that you can read of in the Bible. The ones we read of in the Bible, when one person, are we all there? Are we a dozen people? Are we 100 people? Came to the apostle to be healed. At no time, remember I said after they received the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit, at no time did the apostle, any of the apostles, fail to heal everyone. At no time did any of the apostles send home heal some and send home some and say, those did not have any faith. Never. When the apostles set out to heal one person, or one dozen, or 100, they were all healed all the time. It's not like our modern day counterfeit healers. Wait. Hardly did the apostles heal people that they know. Because what you have in a lot of healing is a setup. You get people who can walk good and they set up the person in the audience. And no, the apostle heals strangers for the most part. Are we all there? In these modern times, the stadium is packed, and these world-class healers come, and few hundred people step down to be healed. And in most cases, 80, 90, 99% have to walk away with their walking sticks, ain't we? And you test it over the next few years, wherever you find out that healing going to take place, go and see if these people were really healed. Everyone. What did you say about miracle, Brother Mitchell? That the purpose for miracle is no longer needed. Wait, not because Brother Mitchell said so. But the purpose that God fixed for miracle, it was fixed by God to last only a
particular period.
And as I said, one of the purpose was to authenticate another purpose along the line was confirmatory, was to confirm the word. To show the audience that the word preached by this preacher, this apostle, the person was working under the influence of the Almighty God. Confirmatory and authenticate. John 20, 30, 31, quick. Romans 10, 17. Let us hear the passage. John 20, 30 and 31.
And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples.
Listen to the passage carefully.
Which are
why I brought this passage up again is that Christians keep this passage in mind. And many other signs, that's miracle, Christ did, watch here,
which are not written in this book. But these are written.
Notice why these are written. Why are they written?
That ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God.
You get what God is saying to you and me? It is the written miracle that's going to gender belief. And what is indicated here is that the Almighty God knew then that there will not be miracle down through the ages. These written ones tell us that we have the authenticated word and firm word. What these men who these miracles have written to us, we can take it. These are written to encourage faith. The written one. What is written? What is the gospel? Because the gospel has the stamp of divinity on it. Romans
10:17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word
of
God.
Did you all hear that? Faith comes by seeing some miracle.
Hearing. Faith cometh by hearing.
Did you hear that? And did you hear what God's word says? Now, this one tells us that it's what is written. And this is directing us to the gospel, you know.
Yeah, amen.
It's what is written that must gender faith.
That's right.
If Jesus Christ knew that there would be miracle right through the ages, we wouldn't need the written one because we would be seeing miracle every day, every week. But because he knew that we will not be having miracle, because God who works miracle through his servant will not be doing that because the purpose of miracle is no more necessary. He said, I give you the written one. Then you see the connection between John 20, 30, 31 and the passage of Romans chapter 10, 17. 10:17 is what the brother has just read. Faith comes by seeing some miracle. No, sir, Brother Mitchell is lying.
And hearing by the word
faith
of God.
Faith comes by listening to the word of
Amen.
God. Why? Those words have already been confirmed by miracle. So that's why you must look to the word for belief in God. Two. Not only the need or the purpose of miracle is no longer needed. The word is already confirmed. The word, the gospel is already authenticated. But there is a second reason why miracle is no more here. The method by which it was given is no longer available. First, I deal with the purpose is no longer needed. And the one or two passages I give you, there are quite a lot more. The second reason I'm now giving is that the means by which God bestowed miraculous power on men and women, saints, New Testament Christianity came into existence. That means our method is no longer available. What was that method, Brother Mitchell? One had to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's right. Or have the apostle lay hands on you. Those were the two means we see demonstrated in the New Testament time after New Testament Christianity came into existence. Either you experience the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit, or one of the apostles of Christ laid his hands on you and passed on supernatural gift. Look with me at the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. Quick.
There is one body.
Uh-huh.
And one spirit.
Uh-huh.
Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling.
Go on to verse 5.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Wait. Mr. Mitchell, did you say a person had to be baptized in the Holy Spirit in order to do miracles? You heard me right. Then, Mr. Mitchell, don't all Christians baptized in the Holy Spirit? No, sir. All Christian, all true Christian receive the Holy Spirit. But we receive, there's a difference between the indwelling measure, which all true Christian receive. What we call the intermediate or the miraculous measure that is given by the laying on of the apostles' arm. And then the baptismal measure received only by the apostles of Christ and the house of Cornelius. Now, the Bible says there is one baptism. That's significant. In the time of the apostle, in the time of Jesus Christ, of course, we have John's baptism. Huh? The Bible also tells us about the Red Sea baptism. Huh? And then we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, huh? And then we have the baptism of the commission, huh? Are we all there? I'm not making up this. Literally everyone here hear about John. That's why he was called John the Baptist, meaning John the Baptizer. John, the person who baptized people. That's how come John the Baptist. Of course, John didn't have a church. He was not the founder of a church. Just drop that along as brought up. You know I'm very kind. Now, then the Red Sea baptism, when the Israelite was going through the transformation, symbolically, that God wanted them to go through. That is a different life, different thinking. He led them through the Red Sea. At that time, we didn't know that it was a form of baptism. But then the Holy Spirit revealed it in the book of Corinthians that it was a form of baptism. It represents transition from one state to another state. Present day, baptism of the commission also represents transition from one type of life to another. So the baptism of the Red Sea that was experienced by the Israelites, only by the Israelites who left Egypt. Huh? That's a form of baptism. But we are not subject to that today. Neither the baptism of John. Mr. Mitchell, how do you know we are not subject to the baptism of John? Don't make my sermon longer than it needs to be by asking those questions, because you know I'll answer. Well, I'm going to be nice about the answer anyway. You see, when you ask about John's baptism, there are some people in the Bible who got baptized in John's baptism. Watch here. After New Testament Christianity came into existence. And you know what? They had to be baptized over when Paul met them. So that baptism is no more in force today. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was meant only for the time of the apostle. So this is why the Bible can now tell us that there is one, B-A-P-T-I-S-N. There is one baptism today. I have just listed four baptisms here. There's another one I don't list because I don't want you to experience that one. Brother Mitchell, oh, you're so selfish. The things they want to preach are kind people. You see, this one is the baptism of fire. And if you're here and not a Christian and you hear people out there say they're getting spirit and praying that God will give them the baptism of fire, they don't realize that the baptism of fire in the book of Matthew was referring to the fire of hell. And the passage makes that plain. That's right. The passage that was said makes it plain that the fire of hell is what is under consideration here. You see, that baptism not come yet. Yeah. Yeah. The one baptism, when the Bible talks about one baptism, it's the baptism of the commission. Go out into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son. That's the only baptism that is in force today. That the baptism of the Holy Spirit was one of the means by which the Holy Spirit baptism was given. Are we all there? And by the laying on of the apostles' hand. Only by the laying on of the apostles' hand. One passage on that, because I need to move on. Acts 8:18.
And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given.
Here again, I am tempted to give you a little background here. Watch here. Simon was not converted by any of the apostles. He was converted by the preacher, Philip. Watch here now.
Simon had never seen Philip.
Are we out here?
Philip could do miracles.
How did he get that power? Brother Mitchell, that gift? By the laying on of the apostles' hands.
But Philip himself could not lay hands on anyone and pass that gift on. He converted this big time Obia man. Simon, that's why Simon the sorcerer. When Simon saw that by the laying on of the apostles' hand, what happened?
He offered them money.
No, you left out something, brother.
And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money.
You get it? So either you must receive the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit, or you receive the miraculous measure by the laying on of the apostles' hands. This was what Simon saw. And he was a man used to exercising of their power. So he wanted to buy.
That's right.
So, there's no miracle today. I will just drop this. I won't read these passages in Ephesians and Corinthians. Cessation. Cessation of miracle was foretold. The Bible in the New Testament tells us the day would come when there would be no more miracle necessary. I would go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We won't read that. Or Ephesians 4:11 through 14. We don't have time to read that because I need to cover some grounds here today. Are we out there? Ladies and gentlemen, in last week's lesson, I spent some time helping us to look at the concept out there in respect to God's mode of operation today. I said the concept out there. Because the concept out there in religious circles is different from what the Bible teaches. The concept out there in respect to God's mode of operation, I pointed out last week, you have deism that feel that God created this world but have no interest in interfering with it, guiding it anymore. That is false. You have those who believe in continuous miracle. That everything positive that happened to them, if they were ill and they are better, they think it's a miracle. The Almighty God has other ways or methods of working to help His people other than miracles. So those who believe that miracles continues every day, that's ignorance. There is also fate, F-A-T-E, or chance. There are many men and women out there believe that everything that happens is chance. There is no intelligence anywhere that is guiding and keeping this world. They are wrong. God not only created the world, God has deep interest in guiding the world. Then there is providence. We believe in providence. Are we all there? God providentially operates in the world today by means of natural law and selected agents. Brother Mitchell, could you repeat that? Thanks for asking me. The Almighty God who has created you and me and this beautiful, vast universe. The Almighty God, miraculously, but providentially. Are we all there?
operates in the world now, today, and he does so by natural law and by means of selected agents. What do I mean, selected agents? The Almighty God, can provide a job for you and doesn't do it miraculously. The Almighty God doesn't have to lift you up bodily and take you to this workplace where they were looking for a computer specialist just like you. He doesn't send an angel or Holy Spirit to lift you up and take you right there. And somebody come and says, "Can you do computer? We are looking for a computer specialist." God doesn't do that. But he can still provide that job providentially. And that's the way God is working today. Last week I think I told you, prayer, answered prayer, is all about the providence of God. While God exercised a general providence over the entire world, or the entire universe and its creature as a whole, that is, again, Almighty God exercised a general providence over the entire universe and the creature therein as a whole. There is also special providential care which the Almighty God exercised only for him picking it in. That's right. Let me back up the first statement, that the Almighty God exercised providential care over the entire universe right now, every day. Since he created this world, God is still in charge of guiding it. Brother Mitchell, you mean with all the catastrophe and the wickedness and the mistake that man makes? Yes! God is still in charge. Remember, of course, that the Almighty God permits the will of man, the choice, the freedom of choice he gives man to sometime have its way, but never to threaten God's purpose. So the will of man have its way to an extent in the world, but God is still in charge and still providentially take interest in the world. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, Acts 14, 16 through 17, Acts 17, 28, 24, 28. Look at these passages.
Matthew
5:45.
That he may be the children of your Father which is in heaven.
Wait. Your Father which is in heaven. Read.
For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good.
Everybody get that? You didn't get that. God maketh his sun to rise not just on the good.
That's right.
But on the evil. This passage is stating God's general providence over all humanity.
Amen.
He maketh his sun to rise. Listen to the others.
And he sendeth rain.
He sends rain
on the just and on the unjust.
But you see, the Almighty God knows, amen, that all of us are not the same. There are some who are just.
Yeah.
Meaning what, Brother Mitchell? They are serving God. And there are some who are unjust. But you know what? There are certain physical blessings that God gives to all men. Oh, Lord, I'm going to make the wrong statement. Why wrong, Brother Mitchell? I'm tempted to give some examples. He sent the rain on the just and on the unjust. Yes, there are certain physical blessings that the Almighty God gives to all men. Even if you do not believe in God. Even if you curse God. Even if you hate God. God provides the necessities of life for you. What a great God we serve. The physical blessing. The money you are able to work is God give you the strength. Even though you do not even recognize it to be thankful to God, He still continues to provide for you. You know what I think about sometimes? The ungodly men and women, they get up every day. You see, all when Sunday come, then think what beach to go, what this to do. It doesn't dawn on them that there is an intelligent being above that asks man to worship Him. That doesn't come to the mind of most ungodly men and women. But you know what? The Almighty God still provides for that person. That's what this passage is talking about. That God sent rain both on the just and on the unjust. I'm talking about God's general providential care over the entire world. There's another passage where Jesus Christ talk about the bird. They don't toil, they don't do this, and yet God take care of them. That God's providential care over the entire universe. Look at the book of Acts of the Apostle, chapter 14, 16 and 17.
When times past suffered all nations,
the Almighty God in time past permitted all nations to walk
in their own ways.
In their own ways.
Nevertheless,
I like this. Nevertheless, nevertheless,
He left not Himself without witness.
Take time with me, dear brother. Notice God's witness, Brother Mitchell. What point are you on now? I'm still on the point that God exercised a general providence. Are we all there? Over the universe and its creature. As a whole, the entire universe, the Almighty God is taking care. And this passage, listen what come out of this nevertheless. Nevertheless,
He left not Himself without witness.
Jonathan, what are God's witnesses?
In that He did good and gave.
Wait. When you reap physical goodness in the world of whatever sort, the food you eat, the strength you and I have to move about, that's goodness from God. That should call. Here you are down here. When you see you're able to move about, it should turn your eyes upward. When you eat food, and all the botanical process and the chemical process that goes in producing that food, you can't do it. It should turn your eyes upward. The Bible says that the goodness we read down here were meant as witness that is telling you and me that there is a God. In that He did good
and gave us rain from heaven.
Wait. There's hardly a person here who does not recognize the importance and the value of rain in respect to the maintenance of life, the production of food. Huh? We often on TV or newspaper hear about drought that affects some country, some region for years. Huh? When you and I see the rain coming,
If we're not careful, we curse God because the rain sometimes hinders us from going out and sporting. It affects my party. You should be thankful for the rain. It's from God. And it is telling you to turn your eyes upward. That's what the Bible is saying. Send rain from heaven and filling our hearts
with food and gladness.
You all hear that? This is talking about God's general providence or providential care over the entire world. But do you know what? Do you know what? In addition to God's general providential care over the universe, where He provides for the ungodly, the men and women who do not even remember Him, believe in Him, or think that they are to submit their lives to Him, God provides for them. That's how awesome the Almighty God is. But do you know what? The Almighty God has special providential care which the Almighty God directed toward His people. You mean, Mr. Mitchell, He doesn't treat all people alike? You don't treat your children and other people's children the same way. You don't. Yes, you might be kind to other people's children, and you are too. But you are kinder to your children. That's a fact. Amen. That's right. Well, God placed that in us. There are some special care providentially that God exercises toward the Christian that He does not exercise toward the ungodly. The same passage that Brother Watson read this morning is an appropriate passage, especially verse 28. Let us hear that passage again.
And we know that all things...
We know. You all hear that? We know that
All things work together for good to them that...
Wait, for good. Are we all there? Notice to whom?
To them that love God.
To them that love God. Wait. You said, but Mr. Mitchell, I love God. You see, God doesn't just take your word. You know what God takes to judge whether we love Him or not? Our action. How do you know that, Mr. Mitchell? If you love me, do what I say. Keep what I command you to keep. So don't come and impress me. And don't let me come and impress you how much I love God. God has another criteria to judge whether we love Him or not. But the passage is not finished. All things. Some things.
All things.
Wait. We are going to be closing on this point. Brothers and sisters, you and I experience men and women here. Some of us, we have gone through, I use the term, gone through hell bereaved in life. We have had some ups and downs, bitter and pleasant experience that we didn't bring on ourselves. You see, it's one thing when you bring the thing on yourself because of your evil or whatever. We have gone through things. May I, if you are a true child of God, never feel abandoned. Because it matters not what or who. The Almighty God has the power and the care to turn them around to serve your best interests. That's what this passage is on. that all things work for good
to them that love God.
Watch here, not only to them that love God, but it's going to tell you, it's going to qualify how you show your love for God. Read on.
To them who are the called.
Take time with me now, brother. To them who are the
called.
Watch here now. Watch here now. The word, the call, means those who have answered to God's call. To them who are the
called.
Wait, Mr. Mitchell, say more. Thank you for asking me. It means men and women who have responded to Jesus Christ's invitation in the gospel to repent and get baptized and live right. That's the call. To come to Jesus Christ recognizing that you need Him more than you need anything else. The Bible says that all things work together for good to them who love God. How do I show that I love you, God? I respond to your call. But watch here. To them who are the called.
To them who are the called according to His purpose.
Wait, y'all hear that? Huh? You must not take up Christianity because you have some hidden agenda. Huh? I want to discuss, you know, a lesson one Sunday night or Sunday morning, because we have a lot of time. Sometime a young lady looking for a husband. A young man looking for a wife, and he tell himself, you know, the best place to find one is in the church. You see the beautiful young lady, and he begin to come to church. Shows interest. But while he's showing interest in coming to church, the young lady might be in mind. And a lot of times, he will even get baptized. Because he knows that sister mind's bent on serving God. Are we out there? Afterwards, sometimes it's seen that his deep down commitment was not to God. To them who are the called, but you must call not according to your purpose, not according to what you want or what you like. You must be called according to Jesus' purpose. The Bible says all things going to work out because the Almighty God, it matters not what you see going on in the world. Are we all there? The Almighty God is still in charge. Look at this passage, same way, same on the same point. As I said, we are closing on it, but give me a few more minutes. 15 chapter, John, verse 17. James 5:16. Quick, brother.
John 15. These things I command you, that ye love one another.
John 15:7.
7. Verse 7 says, if ye abide in me.
That's the passage.
If ye abide in me and my
words. Wait. If you abide in. Mr. Mitchell, what does that mean? It means to be a Christian. Notice the conditional if.
Right.
This is a very important. If you abide in me.
If ye abide in me.
And my word abide in you. Wait. If you are guided by Jesus' gospel.
Amen.
You notice the if.
That's right.
Christ is saying, the blessing I'm about to promise is based on these conditions. If you stay in Christ,
and my word,
and if Christ's word stay in you to guide your life,
he shall ask what he will, and it shall be done unto you.
So this passage is telling you God will not answer any and any prayer. Huh? People
will always think them and God are equal. You cannot even run up to the Prime Minister's residence and see him. Huh? You have to go through appointment and red tape. Huh? You know what separates us from God, even though God loves us? God's holiness and righteousness. And prior to get to the throne of grace and mercy, you must be in Jesus Christ, where righteousness is. So this is why, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, then you can pray effective prayer. But only then, that's why the if conditional. You know what? Some people say, Mr. Mitchell, you can go and talk all about, you just remove that if. Well, you still have to contend with the abiding. That's right. You see, and that is Jesus Christ speaking. What am I talking about? That God has some special providential care that is reserved for the child of God, children of God. One more passage, brother. There are many more. One more passage. That was James, did I say chapter 5, verse 16?
Confess your faults one to another,
mm-hmm.
and pray one for another, that ye may be healed.
You notice again, brother, that prayer is providentially, is God's providential work, that you might be healed. Pray for the person. It doesn't promise miracle here, you know. What it is promised that God will heal us when we have ailment. He will work through the doctor's expertise, the medication or whatever other means the Almighty God chooses to use to restore us. Are we all there? But that's not what I come here for. Read.
The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Read that again, brother.
The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
The effectual fervent prayer of any man or woman avails much.
Of a righteous man.
Of a what?
Of a righteous man.
Somebody here didn't hear that. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Why the Holy Spirit had to guide the inspired writer to put righteous person there? Because prayer is not for every and everybody. A lot of the ungodly people out there are so ignorant that they will boast, oh God help them, to win the lotto. Lottery is gambling. It grows out of covetousness. And for you to think God is going to help you to win lottery, it shows how ignorant you are of God and His will. Pray and fast from now until thy kingdom come. You may win the lottery a million times. It's not God who helps you to win it. Because gambling is a part of covetousness. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. Avail much to whom? To God. Not just any and any prayer. Oh Lord. So much on the subject. So remember as we close. Prayers are answered by providence or by providential means, not by miraculous means. When you and I have any issue, any challenge, any ailment, and go to God in prayer, God will, through Jesus Christ, respond to the prayer of the Christian, but He's going to respond providentially. That is, God will be working behind the scenes.
to be of help to us. We are going to stop here. There is yet another informative lesson on this subject. We ask that you don't miss it. Last week I promised and thought I would get to it this week, that I promised to present to you two women who were childless. Both of them brought forth children afterward. But one, it was true. Wait. God was involved in both of them. That is, two women who didn't know each other. I'm talking in the Bible. God was involved in both of them bringing children. But you know what? God's method of working for them was not the same. One of them was miraculous and the other was providential. I'm sorry if I enter that aspect of the lesson, I'll keep you. I mean, I want you to starve to death when you rise and peace await on your home. So next week, and bring something. There's so much on this subject. You see, we need to understand, brothers and sisters, that miracles is God's temporary way of working. God's permanent way of working is the ordinary way. Using the laws of nature and selected agent, be that agent human agent, be that agent things out there, to do his work. Come and learn more, because we as Christians need to learn this so that we can enlighten men and women. There is a great need in the church for more of its members to be involved in teaching. We cannot come before God empty-handed. And every day you, if you think you are a child of God, should be asking yourself, what am I doing each day to enlighten men in respect to the simple will of God? And one of those subjects that men need to be enlightened is the subject of God's mode of operation today. Does he work through miracle, or is he working providentially? Come and learn more. But right now, you have heard enough today to become a child of God if you are here, and if you are not a child of God, you have at least learned this much. If you are not a Christian, if you from a Christian Bible week, you at least learn this, that even prayer, that is access to God, is dependent on you loving God and you being God's called out. You can this morning be one of God's called out by answering Jesus' call to believe in him, repent of your sin, confess faith in Christ, and get baptized with a resolve to serve in God. Right now, this morning, as we stand dancing, you can step forward to give your life to Jesus Christ as we stand.